You're listening to Community Spotlight in Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Our purpose is to enhance public awareness of our featured nonprofit or advocacy organization in Grant County and surrounding area. I'm Candace Burke, your weekly host. Joining me today is Mike Bonifant, and Mike is here from the Grant County Detention Center, where he is the Lieutenant Director. Welcome to Community Spotlight, Mike.
Good afternoon. How are you? How are we today?
We've been doing this, listeners. This is our second take. We had some technical difficulties and already have received so much good information from Mike. So we're going to do this again. And I'm going to start, Mike, with doing a little bit of an overview of what we were talking about earlier in terms of the RISE program before we talk about the upcoming event.
So here at the Grant County Detention Center, we were pretty much shut down due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We weren't allowing any programming, any on-site visitations. You know, everything pretty much became a standstill. So it was adapting, just like everybody else had to adapt, which is going to lead us to talking about the event we're going to have coming up. But even through the pandemic, we had a program that ran consistently called the RISE program, Reach, Intervene, Support, and Engage, which is aimed toward assisting to reduce recidivism rate amongst detainees with substance abuse addiction issues.
And Mike, you were telling us so much about what's available for the inmate population in terms of substance use intervention and treatment. So share with us. There was a lot you had to say earlier.
So with the RISE program, we do a lot of individual and group counseling sessions. We've created a pod specifically to programming. So only individuals in that particular day room are in the RISE program and they're focused on rehabilitation. Through the RISE, we can get individuals into different rehabs. Earlier, we talked about the Lancy Street program, which is a two-year rehab out in Espanola. And they actually come down a couple times a year and do in-person interviews, and they walk around the day rooms. They speak to the detainees and let them know what they have to offer, which is really good. It's intensive, a two-year intensive rehab. But at the same time, they're working on a ranch. They're learning, you know, different job skills. Some individuals work in the accounting office. Some of them are, you know, building gazebos or doing different things around the ranch for 2 years. And some, from what they were telling me, is some individuals don't leave. They it becomes their home, which is really neat.
It's really, really neat. It truly is. And you also mentioned about the harm reduction with Suboxone, that you're able to actually medically detox at the detention center.
Correct. So upon admission to the detention center, if someone's severely intoxicated from drugs, we have a program called MAP, Medicated Assisted Treatment Program, and we can utilize the Suboxone to go ahead and assist an individual with the withdrawals and hopefully make it not so bad. And that starts from day one. And we work with pregnant detainees, you know, who may come in, and that would be a continuing dose, you know, that continuing maintenance dose throughout the whole time that individual's here in custody. And then depending on one's addiction, they could be on a long-term maintenance dose while they're here in the facility. There is a big push in the state legislative this year, to have all detention centers and prisons in the state of New Mexico create a medicated assisted treatment program. So we started ours a little over a year ago or so, and it's been working really, really well for us.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that, because that's really so necessary for someone to, you know, to have that additional support with the substance use issue that interferes with every aspect of their lives and may, in fact, be a reason why they go back to the detention center, because there aren't enough resources available to them.
Yes, ma'am. And that's one of the things that the RISE does, is it breaks down the criminologic behavior and why individuals do things that they do. And that's one of the focuses during the individual sessions. And with the MAP program, Our medical department works diligently with HMS and TUCASA, doing referrals and making appointments prior to release. That way there, when an individual gets released, we'll send a prescription to the pharmacy of their choice, whether it's CVS, Walgreens, Walmart. They can pick up their 14-day supply of Suboxone and then give them time to go to TUCASA or one of the other recovery centers and continue on with their treatment. Every inmate that's prior to release receives training in Narcan, provided by our medical group, and they're offered a package of Narcan. Each one of my staff members, as part of their uniform, carries Narcan on their person just to be safe, because you never know what could happen. Let's see, within the community, we've got Recovery Management Center, HMS TUCASA, a couple other facilities, you know, border area, who's really stepping up, and they want to help us, you know, reduce recidivism and help out with, you know, with addiction issues within our community.
So what are some ways like the border mental health is helping you at right now? How do they want to assist you?
Well, they're looking, they're open to referrals and things like that right now. But we were having meetings with our local mental health providers. And then the holidays came, and we're working toward getting some of those back up again. We attended a mental health summit, myself, some of the other members of the Sixth Judicial District Court, which for, you know, our terms, the Sixth Judicial consists of Luna County, Grant County, and Hidalgo County District Courts and Magistrate Courts. So there was a summit that was held up in Santa Fe in October by the Supreme Court, focusing on mental health. And one of the things that they tasked the local districts with was they wanted us to choose three tasks. And those three tasks need to be accomplished by October of this year. Chief Judge Jennifer Delaney out of Deming, she's taking lead on our portion of it. And we're hoping to hold a summit within the next month or so of all of our community partners within the three counties to see how we can move forward and work toward addressing some of the mental health needs of our facilities and communities.
It's really, really good to hear this, because there's such a strong need. We're talking about how so many of the inmates, you know, so many have the behavioral health issues as well as co-occurring substance use issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And so, you know, also we were talking about how SPIN has been a big help in providing sober housing.
Yes, SPIN has been a big assistance, you know, within the community. They're contracted with us to provide housing, or not housing, but transportation for detainees, especially after hours. Because, I mean, Grant County Detention Center is a little ways from town. So, and we realized a few years back that, you know, this is an issue that needs to be addressed. So we contacted Corey Caminos, and we got on a contract with Corey Caminos and the addition for two additional bus routes a day. So they stop at the detention center at 11:45 and 3:45. And then we also can contact Corey Cantinas Friday nights and Saturday nights for after hours rides. And then for anything else after hours or specialty transports, we can coordinate with SPIN. And that's all paid for out of the RISE grant.
Excellent. And you've also partnered with the university as well as the Literacy Link for a program. So tell us more about that too.
Well, we're still in the very, very, very baby stages of that. We just had a meeting last week or the week prior, and I cannot remember the gentleman's name right now who we spoke to about possibly bringing GED classes within the facility to give the inmates one something to do, you know, because a lot of individuals incarcerated may not have their high school diploma. And the goal here, at least for us at the detention center, is what can we do to help individuals not recidivate? So do you need your GED? Do you need, you know, your driver's license, stuff like that? Are you a good fit for the RISE program? We have weekly meetings with adult probation. We work with the district courts, the magistrate courts, hand in hand with the district attorney's office. We have became, the RISE program has become a sentencing commission, or a sentencing alternative rather, from the sentencing commission. And we've been approved as an alternative in lieu of sending individuals to prison or to a long-term out-of-town rehab center.
And what are some other resources you think will be of tremendous benefit in the near or long-term future, Mike? What else would you envision for the inmates?
We want to open up more programming. We have we are going to look at partnering with Just Health and the New Mexico Care Coalition to bring in a presumptive eligibility coordinator within the facility to do presumptive eligibility Medicaid. So every individual will leave the facility with Medicaid or Medicare, as well as the severe co-occurring disorders, having possibly a comprehensive discharge plan, working with either recovery management or HMS Ducasa or any of the other partners here in town to hopefully point individuals in the right direction. We have met with all of our local MCOs, our Medicaid care coordinators within our community. They come in, Blue Cross Blue Shield comes into the facility every Tuesday, meets with their individual caseload. Western Skies, they provided a tablet. We do everything through tablet and Zoom with Western Skies, and Presbyterian comes in as well.
Oh, this is good to hear. And also they have needs around SNAP, getting EBT or food stamps.
Now, there's different things that we can do to assist them in that direction. We're looking at maybe trying to partner with the local DMV to get individuals, maybe not driver's license, but ID cards upon release. We have big goals. There's things that we want, moving parts and red tape that we're going to try to navigate through and see what we can do to just, you know, better our community as a whole, starting, you know, within the inside. I know, I'm sure you guys have heard of 988, you know, that came live a few months back. And that's based off the sequential intercept model, and we're, you know, the detention center is between 2 and 3 on that sequential intercept model, which is hopefully as 988 becomes more prevalent within the communities, a lot of these individuals with co-occurring disorders won't come to the detention center at all.
Well, this is good to know, because there is certainly, you're providing a model. So many, again, of the inmates have co-occurring disorders.
Yes, ma'am.
And so you're looking at what is the most appropriate placement for individuals who are really struggling with these issues.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and that's, that does become challenging, especially when it comes to housing in our area, because there's no clean and sober living area within the Grant County or even the 6th Judicial. So that's one of the barriers that we're looking at as a whole to try to figure out how can we address this. So talks is on the table about that, and what resources can we pull together to try to come up with a solution to those problems.
Well, really, I think all of our listeners are very interested in, any kind of future updates with this as well. So I really look forward to having you back on with any kind of updates you might have in these areas. Now, again, let's get back to this event.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's hear more about this.
So, again, since the COVID-19 pandemic, we haven't had any programming. So volunteers is a vital, vital part of the detainee's day of life. You know, they look forward to it. They want to get out of their pods. They want to learn. They want to see different faces. So on February 9th, that's next Thursday at 2 p.m. at the Grant County Business and Conference Center, we're going to be hosting a volunteer sort of meet and greet. So if you're a teacher, if you're a counselor, if you're a yoga instructor, an art instructor, work with literacy links, anything that you might want to volunteer your time for, you know, and share what you have with the detainee population, it'd be, you know, greatly beneficial to the Grant County Detention Center and the community.
Well, so, this is a great forum for getting the word out for that.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you guys, you know, taking the time and allowing us to do this. You know, we're really, it's been a long time since we've had a caseload of volunteers. We have done NA and AA and talking circles throughout the COVID-19 pandemic using tablets and the RISE team. But we're looking forward to having, you know, Monday through Sunday, you know, a full schedule of volunteers that want to, you know, support, you know, our mission and our goals.
Yeah, I think this is very, very important. Any other contact information you can give them?
Anybody that has any questions right now prior to that date or even after that date, if they miss it, can either contact myself, Mike Bonifant, here at the detention center, or the administrator, Joseph Andazola, at 575-388-1265. And that's the main office number up here to the administration offices.
And Mike, you mentioned you do have an in-house counselor right now, or?
Yes, through our contracted medical group, and we have a licensed alcohol treatment counselor, LADAC, through the RISE program.
Good. And tell us more about their roles within the center.
So our mental health counselor, he sees detainees all day long. He comes in at 8 o'clock and leaves at 5. And I mean, he's pretty much booked up all day long. Seeing anybody that just came in, you know, maybe somebody's just having a bad day, plus assisting with the MAP program and the treatment toward the MAP program. But also our LADAC works for individual and group counseling with the RISE participants, individuals in the RISE team, you know, seeking the programming.
So it's a pretty full day for the counselor and therapist.
Yes, ma'am. And then once a week, we have a therapist through telemedicine. And he's a very, very busy person. He works with almost all the detention centers and all the prisons in the state of New Mexico. So he gives us 2 to 3 hours a week to where he can see the more acute mental health individuals.
Mike, what are some other ways you feel our community can be of more support to the inmates as they're finding their way back into our community? What are some other suggestions you would have?
I think just pulling together, you know, maybe trying to assist with housing, you know, assist in, you know, maybe some housing or clothing assistance. And again, you know, volunteering, you know, and if this used to be, how do I say this? You know, maybe the individual can become peer support workers, you know, because peers play a big role in recovery and assisting individuals, because they have the life, they've been through it, you know. So individuals who are peers, they've been through it, and they can actually relate to this population.
And New Mexico has a wonderful peer support specialist program, from what I hear.
Yes, ma'am. OPRI, they're phenomenal. They really work hand in hand. OPRI came and did a walkthrough a few months back, and they were a big part in that summit that was held in October with the Supreme Court justices.
Now, Mike, often, you know, these individuals, you know, their first contact is with law and enforcement. Is there a movement towards having a peer support person, a social worker, or someone else as part of that first response when there's a call that comes in for someone out on the streets, or?
That's the goal. You know, right now there's a big push. If you have somebody that's in crisis, let's go ahead and try to call 988 first. Mm-hmm. And 988 will give assistance with, you know, right now Grant County is a lot over the phone. But, you know, you can receive counseling services and point you in the right direction. Maybe talk to a peer support worker or get guidance on what you can do instead of calling local law enforcement. If it's just a crisis like that, I'm not saying don't call, you know, law enforcement if you need to, but, you know, for severe mental health crises, you know, we can call 988, or the public can call 988 first.
Yes. Anything else you think would help our listeners in terms of better understanding what these crises are like and what you might encounter when they first come in?
You know, individuals, you know, in crisis, they can tend, they're not always going to be able to hold a conversation with you. You know, these are your individuals that are walking down the street, you know, looking up, talking to themselves, maybe walking in the middle of the street, throwing their hands up, yelling, screaming. And it's not because they're angry or mad at anybody. It's just they don't know what's going on. And that's they're expressing themselves that way. So that would be, you know, an individual that's in crisis.
Oh, yes. What are some of the behavioral health issues that's going on with that person? What would be a typical situation they're dealing with on a behavioral health level or with substances?
A lot of it is that they're hearing voices inside their head and they're trying to express themselves and a lot of times try to get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know, so that's they're not. And so if you use caution if you try to approach somebody like this because they can be very dangerous and see you as a threat.
Yes. Yeah. So you keep that person keeps a great distance between themselves and that person, but also as a humanitarian thing is to ensure they're safe.
Yes.
They are safe. Everyone's safe.
Yes, ma'am. And my staff, they go through crisis intervention training. The majority of them have been through PSPG psychology group out of Albuquerque with Dr. Troy Rogers. He's come down. I know a lot of the sheriff's department has also been through the crisis intervention training. So they've received specialized training in how to speak to individuals like this. And what Dr. Rogers group does is he brings actors. We've held a couple classes at the convention center and he actually brings actors down and you have to de-escalate the actors. And it gets, you can't get any more real than that
being
in the situation.
Exactly. Those classes are so, I think, so beneficial in handling situations that respond so much better with de-escalation.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
ma'am. And it's something I know that I'm sure you do there with staff on how to handle these situations too all the time.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we do. We preach more de-escalation now than ever before. So the 90% of what the staff does is de-escalation.
Excellent. What else would you like our listeners to better understand about your work and what you see and how we, again, what in terms of what's the best level of support one can give you and the staff and inmates?
No, just understand my staff has a hard job. You know, they come to work every day and, you know, they're protecting the community and they're protecting themselves and the inmates as a whole. So just, you know, support the staff and don't give them a hard time, please. Cause they do deal with a lot.
they do. So what are some specific ways our community can show that support, which also will assist in de-escalating whatever stress the staff member might be having personally?
Man, if you call, if you're checking on, you know, a loved one that you might have incarcerated, you know, be patient with them, you know, because you don't know what's going on the other side of the telephone, you know, and just bear with them. You know, if they put you on hold because they're dealing with the situation, just bear with them a little bit. I think that's about all I can think of right now.
Mike, what gives you the greatest satisfaction with your work? What is it when you walk, when you go in, what is it that you look forward to the most as part of what you do?
You know, if we can touch one or two people a year, you know, one or two of the detainees a year and help them not come back to jail, that's a big plus for us. You know, and that's one of the things that we can do. And then, of course, my staff going home safe every night. But if we can prevent and reduce recidivism by even one or two a year, you know, that means we're doing something right.
Yeah. So that has to be very rewarding for you when you see that.
Yes, ma'am.
And anything else that you look forward to when you go to work?
Not that I can think of right now. You know, I've got a great group of officers, you know, and they're you know, they do their job 100%. That's all I can ask for. You know, I really do have a great staff.
Yes. And it really just sounds to me like your staff and your center in general is trying very hard to really be of support to the inmates and not having to go back, having as much support and resources available to them as possible.
Yes, ma'am. And that's the goal. You know, the more resources You know, we do give the schedule gets full, but we'll fit any resource in. You know, we really will. And we've even gone individuals that, you know, are severely, you know, have severe mental health issues. We've even had their own counselors come in because they seem more on the same level. They know how to talk to their individual patients. And we've even opened, you know, the doors to that aspect as well.
Oh, that's good to hear. So there is that availability of the individual's own therapists coming to the detention center.
Yes, ma'am. We've had some severe cases where that's helped us out a lot.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You know, I think it's just like everyone needs that, you know, extra support there. Everyone, staff and inmates included.
Yes, ma'am. We did last year with Dr. Rogers and his group, we put on an officer well-being course, you know, so that the officers can figure out what they can do in their personal lives to leave the stress at work.
Yeah, right? And I think that is so important. Mike, how do you decompress briefly? What do you do when you leave the detention center just to unwind?
Yeah, usually it's just listen to music and I look forward to going home to my wife and kids, and that keeps me going every day.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up today's show?
I just look forward to seeing as many of you as we can at that volunteer. Again, that's February 9th at 2 p.m. at the convention center.
Okay, listeners, hear that. Just write this down because there's a huge need for volunteers. And again, Mike, I'm just so happy you could join us today. This was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mike. And so this is a special edition of Community Spotlight, which will air Thursday, that's tomorrow, February 2nd at 10 a.m. Also, I'm hoping that we can have this interview also repeat itself in the next few weeks, even though the event will be over by then. This is a good conversation, I think, for us to have. So I certainly welcome that. You've been listening to Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. So this show will be available online, Mike, and for our listeners. I'm Candace Burke. Thanks for listening.